Turn now to the scriptures, book of Exodus. We're going to do two portions actually to read. First, Exodus 16, and that'll be our main text tonight, Exodus 16. So if you turn there, and we're also going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 8, just a couple of verses there. So keep your hand, after we read in Exodus 16, you want to keep your hand there, because we'll come back to it. Exodus 16. I'll read up through verse 35. This is the word of the Lord. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread of the full. For you brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. When the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" But they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of persons that you, each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Then Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded, that an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years, till they came to the habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And then turning to Deuteronomy, and chapter 8, we have in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll read here verses 2 and 3. We have a kind of summary as Israel is on the border of the land, about to go in. We have a summary, something of a summary of God's dealing with his people and his purpose in dealing with them in these years in the wilderness. So Deuteronomy 8, beginning at verse 2. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God's holy word, may he write upon our hearts. Let's pray again together. Father, help us now as we consider this your word. Within the sacred page, we do seek you. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, life, even as we were able to think about this morning from the sermon of the morning, life is not ever merely about physical sustenance. Man can eat of physical bread and still perish in his sins. A man may have food and substance aplenty and still perish in his sins. The man, to be sure, we see it here, we read it here, Deuteronomy, didn't we? Man is not meant to live by bread alone. He's not meant to live by his belly. He's meant, first and foremost, to live, to be sustained by the living God. To be sustained by his word. In other words, he's meant to taste a spiritual life. That life which extends beyond this life. That life which extends beyond the grave. The Lord led Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. To what end? Why did he do it that way? Why 40 years? And we could give a few different answers to that, particularly from the text we just read. Why did he lead them through the wilderness for 40 years? It was to humble them and to test them, to know what was in their heart. Of course, he knew already what was in their heart. He knew very well their spiritual state. They needed the test. They needed to be humbled. And thus in being humbled, to discover for themselves their spiritual state. They needed to see that life was more than food and clothing. You say an important spiritual lesson, isn't it? Life is more than food and clothing. Life, true life, was of another permanent and eternal order. It was to be found in fellowship with the living God. That's what they needed to learn. Real life, true life, is to be found in the living God. So they needed to be humbled. They needed to be tested. They needed to see what their spiritual state was. I think we understand. You know, the Lord brings his people out of Egypt, and he's multiplied them. He brings them out with power. But how many of them really believed? He's chosen them as his nation. But you've always got this thing going on where it's just a remnant that believes. So he's showing them their heart. He's humbling them. They need to see what their spiritual condition is. True life is of a permanent and eternal order. Now, we all know this as Christians, don't we? True life is of a permanent and eternal order. So, in this way, their life, thinking of the Israelites now, their life was to revolve around, this is God's purpose now, their life, he wanted their life to revolve around fellowship with him. It was to be tasted deeply, true life, enjoyed particularly in their worship on the Sabbath. They could discover its enjoyments and its nature, especially on that day, given them by God for just such enjoyment. Sabbath is a creation ordinance, pattern of one day in seven, or 6 days of labor and one day of rest and worship. The true worship is of God since Adam and Abel, on down through the faithful line of Seth. That pattern and its attendant blessing was observed and cherished by many. To be sure, it fell into disrepair during various periods. You can think of two extremes here, maybe. Either it was neglected totally, or it was formed or concretized into a kind of straitjacket. You know, two extremes, right? It's interesting, we're preaching Zechariah now and thinking toward the time of restoration, Reformation, Malachi, right? And you had a wonderful Reformation that went on with in that period of time, restoration, Reformation. And yet it was things were taken to an extreme as well. And that's one of the things that happened among the people of God, that the Sabbath became rather concretized. All kinds of straitjacket restrictions, man-made things. And it was observed in that way. Rather suffocating. Regard for the Word of God changed at that time too, actually. I mean, it was they observed the Word of God. They had a fresh reverence for it. And then it changed sort of into the superstitious thing. Held in great reverence, but very superstitious. So, you know, we're all over the place, aren't we? We can go from one extreme to the other. Ah, but the Sabbath, the pattern that God had given to his people. The pattern is not set aside. It is a creation ordinance. In other words, in it is the impress of God's world and order, and how man is to live in this world as the crown of God's creation. So the pattern is not set aside. It is a creation ordinance. So not surprisingly, the Lord revives and reestablishes the pattern as he redeems his people out of Egypt. So he makes a nation for himself, a nation of worshipers. In fact, maybe we need to say, he purposes to make for himself a nation of worshipers. It's quite a task, actually, which only God could do. Brings them out of Egypt. He's got a nation. He would make them into a nation of worshipers. And so that's much of what he's about and is working in them in the wilderness. He's going to make them, he wants to make them into a nation of worshipers. A nation that really knows him. You think of various places, you know, in the scripture, the Psalms that describe this ongoing work, this ongoing condition of the people of Israel. There are always the people that go astray in their hearts, right? They have not known my ways, quoted in Hebrews there, right? The Lord purposed to make a nation of worshipers for himself. Now here in the text, Exodus, that we read, we're reminded again how the Lord made wonderful provision for his people. We thought about that in the last sermon, his provision of bread, and how ultimately we see that fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The manna, bread from heaven, to sustain them. And as he makes that provision for them, as he makes that provision of bread, he provides a pattern for them. A built-in lesson, if you will, to encourage trust. And he'll test them, he does test them with regard to this lesson or pattern. When we say lesson or pattern, we mean the pattern of 6 days labor and 1 day rest, 1 day worship. He's bringing a lesson to them, and he's going to test them with respect to this pattern. And so we want to think on that tonight briefly. So first we see the pattern and the test introduced. Now we're going to see the pattern as we go through the text. We'll see the pattern impressed upon Israel. And then finally we'll think about the pattern and its lesson applied. So first of all, the pattern and test introduced. And then we see how the pattern's impressed upon Israel through many years. And then bring some application, the pattern and lesson applied. So first the pattern introduced. The pattern and test was declared in advance. Look at verses 4 and 5 again. Chapter 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So the Lord will wonderfully provide for his people. "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you," he says. The principle of this provision for his people is love for them at all times. He will provide also a lesson and a test for them. He will call them to trust him for daily provision. He will encourage their trust in him for ample provision, such that the Sabbath and worship will be guarded. The Lord provides for his people. Then he walks them through the lesson here. He walks them through the lesson. Look at verses 13. We think on verses 13 to 26 just now. First, of course, the miraculous provision. We've thought on this already. Miraculous provision, verses 13 to 15. "In the evening, the quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning, dew lay on the around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" It's a miraculous provision. And we see here ample provision for each person, each family, so they were not to store up extra beyond the daily need. He didn't want them, in other words, he didn't want them, we put it this way, he did not want them to be anxious about tomorrow. He wanted them to trust him for each day. So to not be anxious about tomorrow, he would provide daily for their needs. And he impressed this truth of his faithfulness to provide for their daily needs across 40 years. Wow, they should have gotten that lesson, right? 40 years. He didn't want them to be anxious concerning tomorrow. He was their God. They were his people. Will he not care for them? Is it too difficult a thing to care for them? Can he provide a meal in the wilderness? They had that question, right? He's given us water. Verse 22, we see the Lord keeps his word concerning the double portion. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. He said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept until morning. So he keeps his word. The Lord keeps his word. There's the double portion. And then he gives this instruction, as we read of it here. He gives this instruction, 23 to 26. Note the emphases here. Verses 23 to 26. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. Rest from your labors. Tomorrow is a holy Sabbath to the Lord. In other words, a day set apart to the Lord. You are to rest and honor and worship Him. You needn't worry about provision for this day. He will provide for it. Do your preparations on the sixth day. Keep what is left for the seventh. You will not need to gather food on this day. Notice verse 25, he says, eat that today, the extra portion. Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord, a day of rest devoted to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it. In other words, you will gather with success on the 6 days, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, you will find none. You will gather in vain on that day. As they look to him in their labors, they would see his blessing upon their labors. Now, some fail the test immediately. Brings the test, they fail the test, verse 27 to 29. They fail the test, and the lesson has to be reiterated, 27 to 29. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So they're tested. Some fail the test. There's disobedience. They go out on the seventh day. Why do they go out on the seventh day? Well, they wanted to store up beyond what they presently had. Let's get more. Who knows? Maybe we won't see it on the following day. So wouldn't it be wise to go out on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day, and gather some more? Let's gather as much as we can get. This is great. Bread from heaven. But they miss the whole lesson, don't they? They disobeyed God's clear directive. So a rebuke he brings to them. And then instruction, admonition. See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. He gives you this day, this special day of rest for blessing and encouragement. He gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Again, as they would look to him in their labors, they would see his blessing upon those labors. So the Lord's saying to them in his instruction here, don't be anxious with respect to provision. He will provide for you this day. He will provide sufficient for this day. He will provide tomorrow that which you need for tomorrow. So let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath. In other words, let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath to gather. Let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath to labor. You don't need to labor. Why? I'll provide double on the sixth day. So you can enjoy this day. Why? I want a nation of worshipers. I want a people that sees that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That sees that real life is not about the manna. You can eat this manna for 40 years, which they did. And you'll die. If that's all you think life is. Think of the Lord's words, John chapter 6, when he speaks to us, yes? They ate the man in the wilderness. They died. So many didn't learn the lesson, even though they had the lesson before them for 40 years. Don't be anxious with respect to provision. I will provide. On the Sabbath, let every man remain in his place. Don't neglect the worship and rest to which I call you for your blessing. The Lord wanted them to discover, to know what real life was. And he wanted them to have the blessing of being, to taste of that life on that special day. So he wanted them to leave aside all the normal ways of labor, all the gathering of provision, leave that all aside, and on this day, rest. Think about the life that really sustains. Think beyond the present life. Think about what really feeds the soul. Think about permanence. Think about eternity. Now we need to consider that the pattern, the lesson, was impressed upon Israel through many years. We've as much as said it already, haven't we? But look at verse 35. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to an habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And then, of course, the Lord commands that they should take an omer, a jar of this, and put it in the tabernacle of testimony, that they'd have that memorial of God's provision, his daily provision across 40 years. So for years, 40 years, God blessed Israel with ample and abundant provision. There was always enough to eat. Think about that. There was always enough to eat. I think about just for a moment about how, you know, no doubt, in your families, marriages, you've encouraged each other in just this way, right? You're a little anxious about provision, and what do you say to each other? The Lord's always provided for us. He's always provided for us. And Israel had this experience then. There was always enough to eat. There was never the need to gather fruit on the Sabbath. There was never the need. 40 years. They could trust God. He's proven himself, hasn't he? They could trust God. They could rest and worship and be refreshed on the Sabbath. Didn't need to work. Didn't need to gather. They could rest. And not just take a nap. I mean, I said earlier that I took a nap every day on vacation, but not just take a nap. Sometimes it's great to be able to take a nap on the Lord's Day, right? So you get some extra rest. They could rest and worship and be refreshed on the Sabbath. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man does not live. He was never made to live from his belly or by his belly, and was made to live in the life of God, to know that life, to be sustained in the life of God. So they could trust God. They could rest and worship and be refreshed on the Sabbath. But there still remains some temptation. They were at liberty to seek extra. Think of them coming into the land now. Have they learned the lesson? We're at liberty to seek extra, to hunt and trap and seek other delicacies on the 6 days. They did not need to do this, but they could enjoy such. The danger was to think that they needed to have beyond their daily bread. That's always a sort of temptation, isn't it? I need beyond my daily bread. I better work the extra shift, right? Because I might not have enough. Maybe I need to neglect the Lord's Day in order to have enough. Maybe I need to neglect the Lord's Day to pass the test, right? I need to study. Greek exam's coming up. Whatever. Hebrew exam. I'm getting at seminarians now, right? Calculus exam. Tomorrow. Oh, whoops, I didn't study for it on Saturday. The danger was to think that they needed to have beyond their daily bread. And there was still the temptation for the Israelites to gather food on the Sabbath. There was still the temptation to work on the Sabbath. So the children of Israel ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. On that day, the manna ceased. And now, they needed to especially apply the 40 years lesson. What was the Lord saying to us across 40 years here? What's the lesson? Was that lesson sufficiently written upon their hearts? I guess not. I guess not. So the Lord said, didn't he? This is the people that always go astray in their hearts. The lesson wasn't sufficient. It should have been. God will always provide. And he'll always provide sufficiently according to his pattern to guard his day and to meet his people on that day, that they might be his worshipers and that they might be truly refreshed in the best possible way with true life on his day. So the manna ceased and they were still to trust Jehovah for their daily provision. Now, that daily provision would come through ordinary means. Had they learned the lesson? Now the daily provision would come through ordinary means, like it does for us, right? Daily provision, it comes by ordinary means. They needed to trust the Lord to bless them in their labor through those means. And that's where we are too, right? We need to trust the Lord to bless our labor, our work, his hand. They were still to trust Jehovah for ample provision in the 6 days, so that there would be enough for the 7th day. Wouldn't he fail them? Is he able to provide? Or do I need to toss the 6th? Do I need to toss the creation ordinance? Does God really know how he made the world? Of course he does. Does he really know how he made man? He calls us to be his worshipers, and that's a wonderful thing. God would not fail them, of course not. Maybe we put it this way now. They get to the border of the land of Canaan. Now they needed to grow up. It's time to grow up. Or embrace the lesson, put it that way. They would always have enough. Perhaps not delicacies, but always enough. When you see, think about how their heart was tied to Egypt, and they're tested there, right? Oh, we sat by the meat pots in Egypt. It was great. Except they were slaves. So perhaps not delicacies, but always enough. He called them to trust him. He called them to guard and cherish the Sabbath. And thus they were tested regarding the 40 years lesson. What's the pattern and the lesson applied to us? These things were written for our instruction, right? Is the lesson sufficiently written upon our hearts? That's the question. Is the lesson sufficiently written upon our hearts? Do you believe Sabbath's the creation ordinance? We should. We do. But is the lesson sufficiently written upon our hearts? And what's God's purpose with respect to the pattern? God's purpose with respect to the pattern is that we might be his worshipers. Oh, but it gets better. I mean, that is better already, but that we might be his worshipers, that he might feed our souls with life everlasting, and that we might taste it especially on this day. We taste it other days, of course. I mean, the Lord's Day now when I say this. We might taste it especially on this day. Do you think about the Lord's Day this way? The Lord wants us to. Is the lesson sufficiently written upon our hearts? The Sabbath is a creation ordinance. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. 6 days of labor, one day of rest and worship. For the true worshipers of God since Adam and Abel and down through the faithful line of Seth and down through the history of God's covenant people, this pattern and its attendant blessing has been observed and cherished. What are we called to here? We're called to trust the Lord for daily provision. We read earlier Matthew chapter 6. A simple lesson, isn't it? We're called to trust the Lord for daily provision. Daily provision comes through ordinary means. So we said a moment ago, we say it again, we need to trust the Lord to bless our labor and to provide through those means. We're called to trust the Lord for ample provision in the 6 days, so that there will be enough for the seventh day. And he will. And he does. He does. It's back to that old lesson. You have that old discussion, right? Hasn't the Lord, the Lord's always provided for our needs. He has, hasn't he? He always has. Will God fail us? Of course not. He will always provide for our daily bread. We say perhaps not delicacies, but it's always sufficient. He calls us to trust him. He calls us to guard and cherish the Lord's day. He gives us this special day for rest and refreshment, for blessing and encouragement, so that we're not to be anxious about provision or our labors. He will provide. And he will add blessing to our labors. Now, it's rather natural to us in our fallenness, in our default works orientation, to turn the Lord's Day into a day laden with rules and restrictions. This is natural to us, I think. Turn the Lord's Day into a day laden with rules and restrictions. You commonly get this question. If you talk about the Lord's Day, you teach on the Lord's Day, you'll often get this question. Tell me what I can't do, right? Tell me what I can't do. Give me some rules here, man. I need some rules. But I say it's natural to us in our fallenness to turn the Lord's Day into a day laden with rules and restrictions. We need to say this in advance. If I don't understand the gospel, the Lord's Day is going to be a boring day to me. If I don't yet understand the gospel, so let that be a test just now. If I don't yet understand the gospel, the Lord's Day is going to be boring to me. If I haven't gotten this creation ordinance, Sabbath ordinance, if I've not gotten this 6 days and one day, if I've not gotten that, if I've not learned the lesson yet that Israel was given across 40 years, then I'll be thinking about other things on the Lord's Day. I'll be thinking about doing other things on the Lord's Day. I'll be thinking about working on the Lord's Day. I'll be thinking about getting ahead on the Lord's Day. I'll be thinking about getting extra stuff on the Lord's Day. I'll be thinking about all the other things I could be doing on the Lord's Day. You know, rather than coming and worshiping and finding my God fill my soul. It's a good test. Life is full of tests. So it's natural to us, we say, to turn the Lord's Day into something else. If we don't understand the gospel, we certainly won't get it. Or else we can weigh it down with all kinds of rules and restrictions, and we're missing the heart of the whole thing. Jesus' ministry and activities seen on this day, I mean the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, when I say this, Jesus' ministry and activities should cure us of that sort of thing. Jesus, what did he do? I mean, you see him all the time working on the Sabbath, right? You see him all the time doing this. What did he do? What was he doing? Jesus flooded that day with joy. Think about it. He flooded that day with joy. Think about all the healings on the Sabbath day. And then the blowback he got for that, right? All the joy he brought on the Sabbath day. He was Lord of a Sabbath. He knew why God had given it. He gave it to his people. He's the one who gave it to his people. He knew why he gave them that day. That they might enjoy him, that they might enjoy God, that they might truly rest, that they might truly have rest in their soul. They might rejoice in that day. Jesus flooded that day with joy. Healing, pardon, deliverance, truth. Parties. It was a beautiful day. I mean, who enjoyed the Lord's day more than the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Who understood it more than him? And how he longed that his people would see it according as he designed it. Now, we say God always provides. We know this lesson as Christians. We know it already. We need to be reminded of it, don't we? God always provides. He provides wonderfully for us. And when he provides for us daily and continually, what is his lesson? It's that we might see that life is more than daily provision. That's one of the lessons here. When we say that, a little discussion between ourselves, well, will we be okay? You know, will we have enough? And then we say, well, you know, the Lord's always provided for us. He's always provided for us. What's the lesson? It's that we might see that life is more than daily provision. It's to teach us to hunger for the life that is permanent and eternal. It's that we might say at those points, right, when we recognize God has always provided for us, that we might recognize, that we might say, obviously, life is so much more than this. Obviously. Life is so much more than this. We all have had this experience, haven't we? God provides. You taste of his good gifts. You say to each other, isn't this great? Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful how God provides? What's the next thing we're to conclude at that point? It goes something like this. Obviously, life is so much more than this. It's so much more than this. Life is so much more than food and clothing. The Lord Jesus says, don't be anxious about those things. Life is so much more than that. Life is so much more than this. Now, that's the lesson of the Lord's Day, too. We gather together. Why do we gather together? Because we believe, and every Christian believes this. Life is so much more than what we're about on the 6 days. Now, we want, as we often say, we want the blessings of the Lord's Day to flow into the whole of the week, right? But this is what we believe, and this is why we gather together. And this is why this is what we're seeking when we come together. We're seeking the Lord. We're seeking his word in our hearts. We're seeking life that lasts forever. We're seeking the things that are permanent. And the Lord loves to meet us on this day and in this way. So we come rightly to worship, we come with that prayer, don't we? Lord, feed my soul. Remind me again on this day, your day, real life is. Yes, let me carry that into the other days. Let me carry that into all the other six days. So when I've eaten and the Lord's provided, and I taste of his good gifts, and I thank him for his good gifts, I'm to say, you're to say, I know. Life is so much more than this. We praise him for it. Let's pray. Father, we look to you to feed us always with the bread from heaven, the true bread sent from heaven. And we thank you, Father, you've given us this day, the Lord's Day, that we might be able to set aside all the normal things, all the ordinary things, necessary labors to which you call us, but to be able to set that all aside and fix our eyes on you in a unique way, engaging in the means of grace, and to know what it is for our Savior to feed our souls. So feed us, we pray, and change us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.